right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll start off with some testimonies. Father, we come to you this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for a lot of the snow that came on, Friday has melted in different areas. We certainly know there's still a lot of folks that got a lot of snow, Lord, and it was a wet, heavy snow. A lot of folks may be still without power. We're grateful for the men and women that work hard many times throughout the night to restore power, get the power lines back up, Lord, and we're certainly thankful for that, Lord, and we're grateful for those that were able to return the power, maybe get some electricity back on, some hot water, Lord, certainly things that we're thankful for. Thank you, Lord, for allowing the power to get back on up there in the Stanfordville-Halstead area, and the Comstock's able to get back to the parsonage, Lord, and get a good night's rest. Thank you for their trip this morning. I know it was an early trip, Lord, and I pray you'll sustain them today, Lord, as they have been busy on the road, traveling quite a bit church to church, Lord, and that can take its toll physically, Lord. And I pray you'll encourage them today, and may they be a blessing to us, Lord. I'm sure they will, as I hope we'll be a blessing to them. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness in New Zealand. We ask your continued blessing as they travel even tonight, Lord, up to Meshopin and Brother Myers, and then, Lord, up to Wisconsin for Thanksgiving. And, Lord, we pray you'll use the Sunday school hour, the morning service, the preaching of your word, Lord, to open our eyes to missions, to the truth of the scriptures. Whatever you have for us today, Lord, speak to us individually. May we walk out of here today, Lord, encouraged, convicted, challenged, walking even closer with you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it is a blessing to be able to be here today. It has been quite a while since we've been able to be here to be able to share with you what the Lord has been doing in New Zealand. Last time we were here, I believe, would have been January of 2019. Just thinking through that as I'm saying it. Yeah, it would have been January 2019. And we had a young lady named Caitlin Gunnan. From New Zealand with us. I don't know how many, I know you two know her, as you visited New Zealand as well. But she was with us and was able to share her testimony, what the Lord was doing in her life. You'll hear a little bit more from her in the video and be able to sort of get caught up. But do be praying for her, as she will be getting married on Saturday. And so she's got a very busy week ahead in her life as she and her husband, future husband, they get married, and then they're helping with the church plant as well that just started a couple weeks ago. And so exciting times of what the Lord's doing over there in New Zealand. We haven't been here in 6 years nearly because we were in part because of getting our dual citizenship. We needed to wait 5 years and be in the country for 5 years in a row in order to get our dual citizenship. Our last furlough was just barely too long, and so it reset that timer, and so we pushed off our furlough this time to be able to get our dual citizenship, which now we have. So now we are both U.S. and New Zealand citizens. We have U.S. and New Zealand passports, which gives us more flexibility as far as ministry as well as travel. Makes it a little easier. Gives our kids a lot more options as they reach the age to decide what the Lord wants them to do with their life and start venturing out on their own. Here today with my wife, Leanna. Our three kids. Rebecca's now 18 and a half. Jared just turned 17 a few weeks ago. Calissa turned 13 about a week ago. And we are excited to be able to be with you here today. At this time, I think we'll show the video. And that'll fill in a lot of details, and we can go from there. We are the Comstock family, missionary church planters to New Zealand. God called our family to New Zealand, and after 5 years of deputation, we set foot in New Zealand in 2014. We began our ministry at Rotorua Bible Baptist Church with Garth Lynette Piper. This existing church sponsored us into the country, and we were excited as this established church grew to no longer need missionary leadership and fully support their pastor that they called. After they called their pastor, the Pipers and our family moved down to New Plymouth to continue working together to plant a church. After a couple weeks, we were able to officially start Lighthouse Independent Baptist Church on December 27, 2015. We started in the Pipers' home, but after a couple of months, the Lord gave us a building to rent in town. We were in this building until we were bursting at the seams. The Lord then gave us a school hall to meet in, and we have a large space now in which God can grow this church. We are praying that God will supply this church with a national pastor. And in the meantime, we are witnessing, doing outreach, discipleship, and helping this church to be a lighthouse to the community. It has been a blessing to see many of our youth here grow from their teens into adult life. and now some are married and starting their own families.
Some may remember Caitlin, who traveled with us for 2 months on our last furlough. That trip was a turning point for her and an encouragement in her walk with God as she saw many young people serving the Lord. After her trip, she earned her 2-year certificate from the New Zealand Baptist Bible Training Program. She is currently training to be a nurse, and she is shining her light brightly in her workplace. Through her and her mom Karen's witness, they saw Regan, Bree, and Flynn all come to Christ and become part of our church family. She is getting married to another former student, Limwell, in November of 2024, and they will be helping with a church plant in Matamata. Please pray for Caitlin.
Hello everyone, my name is Limwell.
And I'm Caitlin. We have learned a lot about the Lord through the Comstock's ministry here in New Zealand.
This November we will be helping start a church at a place called Matamata. And we would very much appreciate your prayers and as we begin this ministry.
Yeah, as John 15:5 says, without him we can do nothing. So really appreciate your prayer, both for the laborers, that we do it in the Lord's strength, and that God will prepare the hearts of the people there in Matamata. Thank you so much. Thank you.
We have also mentioned Anthony in prayer letters. He feels the Lord has called him into the ministry. So Garth and I have been continuing to train him since he finished his 2-year certificate for NZBBTP. I have been trying to do a weekly Bible study with him, and Garth and I both help him as he is learning to preach and develop sermons. Anthony is currently working a secular job and is desirous to see his workmates come to know the Lord. Please pray for Anthony.
Hello, I'm Anthony. I'd just like to say thank you so much for giving yourselves to the Lord so he can use you, and then letting him use you to support the Comstocks. The Lord's really using them mightily over here, and they've been a very big blessing to me personally and to my family and also to our church as well. Pastor Craig personally discipled me with much of what I know, and I believe the Lord's been working in my heart and he's called me to ministry one day, possibly to be a pastor. So I'd appreciate prayer regarding that, if you have time for that. And also please, regarding New Zealand, we desperately need prayer. New Zealand is a dark place spiritually now. We desperately need labourers. So please pray that God would send forth labourers. Thank you.
Jessica is also a name that we have mentioned. She has been growing in the Lord greatly and had the desire to read through her entire Bible. In response, Leanna and Jess have been doing a weekly Bible study, walking through the Bible. Pray for her as she witnesses to her workmates. The Lord used her, Craig, the NZBBTP students, and preaching to help a workmate named Jared to see his need of a Savior. He accepted Christ in 2023, was baptized, and joined the church soon after, and is growing. This took place because she chose to be a light for Christ. Please pray for both Jessica and Jared.
Hi, my name is Jess. I'm going to obviously the Comstock's Church here in Taranaki. I just want to thank you all for your prayers. Between the time you would have last seen the Comstock's and now, I've moved out of home, I'm flatting, lived with the Comstocks for a year between that time. I just would appreciate a prayer for work, obviously flooding as well. Pray that I can be a light. You know, we face a lot of the same problems as you guys do over in America, so we just appreciate all that prayer. And yeah, thank you for the support you obviously give to the Comstocks to be able to be here in New Zealand. Thank you.
We have been excited to see several people saved in this last term and then follow the Lord in believers' baptism. While Jared is one of these, this list also includes Caitlin, Bree, Rebecca, Isaac, Christina, Shaylin, Timothy, Hannah, and Regan. Please pray for these individuals as they grow in their faith and walk with God.
COVID impacted New Zealand in a huge way. Our lockdowns prevented us from leaving our homes except for doctor appointments or grocery shopping. We could only exercise around the local neighborhood, and the government completely banned groups of any kind from meeting. Our church began to video stream all services, and it was neat to see and hear about church family messaging each other and trying to encourage each other within our limited legal restrictions. We are thankful that the impact of COVID to our church was minimal.
Right before COVID, the Lord allowed us to buy a home just outside of town. We closed on the house about a month before the first lockdown. We were thankful to have a home, and we began to work on the guest quarters that came with the property. The guest quarters, or sleep out, as it is called here, is now painted, sided, and now has carpet and can sleep four comfortably. The deck also was a huge problem when we purchased the home as it was rotting and falling apart. We bandaged it as much as we could over the last several years, and in February 2024, we were finally able to replace it. We are so thankful to have a home we can use to be hospitable as well as facilitate many activities for our church, students, and ministries. Thank you to each church that helped to give towards these projects.
Leanna and Lynette Piper worked together to reach out to the ladies of our church. They have run ladies' Bible studies and ladies' luncheons, visit with the ladies, and are a listening ear as well. Please pray for our ladies. Several have unsaved husbands and are desirous to see God save them and make their families into godly beacons to the world. Leanna has also started a choir to introduce more hymns to our church family. We have been taking lesser-known hymns in the hymnal and learning them. We then can incorporate these songs into our singing as a church family. Lynette teaches the kids' Sunday school class unless she is away, and she and Leanna are trying to help train and support younger teachers as they learn to share God's word with the children.
Craig and Garth also work together preaching the word to the church, discipling the men and the whole church, reaching out into our community, and participating in other ministry opportunities. They both enjoy teaching in the New Zealand Baptist Bible Training Program. Between them, during the two-year program, our church hosts the students for about 18 weeks of classes. Please pray for these students. They can attend for a 1 or 2 year certificate, and they take what they learn to serve the Lord better in their local churches. Some students are training for full-time Christian service. Our children plan on participating in this program for at least 1 year once they graduate from high school. Our children have been a huge blessing in the ministry as well. Rebecca is now proficient enough in piano that she has been playing for all congregational singing. Jared and Calissa both support her by playing an offertory about once or twice a month. They also all participate in our church choir. We have been blessed to have the youth over after most Sunday evening services because of their friendship with our children.
Heritage Family Camp and Teen Camp have been such a huge blessing to see grow over the years. Garth Piper has been the designated youth camp director for many years, so we strive to support this outreach ministry. Leanna makes the booklet designs, helps with room checks, and this year helped with cooking as the dinner supervisor and has led choir for the last 2 years. Craig is Garth's gopher in trying to help in any way that he can. All the pastors pitch in while at camp. There are lots of details to plan for camp. Craig writes camp devotions, prints booklets, helps in choosing music selections, song leading, and supervising many other areas as well. The team effort with all the cooperating churches makes camp run smoothly. Most of the pastors volunteer their time to help run the camp, whether it is peeling potatoes or preaching. We are thankful for the fellowship between our churches in New Zealand.
Our church family in New Plymouth is precious to us, and we love to see God growing them as they yield to Him. Pray for protection from the evil one as they are bombarded by worldly advances every day. Pray for unity as there are those who would try to divide this assembly. Pray for opportunities for each of us to share the great redeeming work of Jesus Christ in our lives with the lost that surround us. New Zealand is getting darker. There have been some awful laws made in the last several years that mock God's holy name and desire to erase Him fully from the culture. The people in our church in New Plymouth, New Zealand, are trying to be a light in this dark world. Please pray for them.
In our next term, we are praying that God will raise up a national pastor to take over this work so that our team can be a light and see God work in another part of His harvest.
There are still so many towns and cities here in New Zealand with no gospel witness. Please pray for us as we minister and help this church to become Indigenous. We became dual citizens of New Zealand and the United States in July 2024 so that we can have a more permanent position in this country where God has called us to minister. Thank you for being a vital part of our ministry team. Without your prayers and support, we could not do this ministry here in New Zealand. Whether praying for our health, family, church family, or travels, your prayers connect you to us. Whether helping with a project or just helping us to live here on the field, your financial help connects you with our ministry. We are an extension of your church. We would love to have you come visit and see the work firsthand and participate with us. You are touching real lives. You are seeing real souls turn to Christ. And this is a real church that you are helping to plant here in New Zealand.
Well, that gives you a good overview of the ministry that the Lord has given to us there, as well as the ministry that you're helping to support. It's easy to become busy here and forget all that the Lord's doing around the world through the missionaries that you support. And that just gives you an overview about what the Lord is doing. We're excited about it. We're excited to get back in March. We are traveling around visiting the majority of our supporting churches. We're visiting 58 out of 59 supporting churches during the seven-month furlough. And you are the halfway, today is the halfway point. So you are the 29th out of 58 churches that we are visiting. And so this afternoon we are half done with the churches that we're visiting. And but we're glad to be here and to be able to see you all again. I was here just a couple weeks ago or so for the Pastor's Fellowship, and it was good to be back and to be here as well. We go back in March, and we hit the ground running. Our teen camp is in April. The way the school year works in New Zealand is school starts the end of January, ends in December. And the reason for that's fairly simple. Our summer is pretty much now. And so December, January, and February is summer in New Zealand. The seasons are completely opposite. We will never have a white Christmas in New Zealand due to that. So the students get kids get off for Christmas, and then basically about a month of summer break. And then they get 2 weeks off the other three between terms, basically, between school terms. So between the first and second, second and third, and third and fourth. So they get a two-week break in April, July, and October. And during that April break, our fall, our autumn, is when we have teen camp, one of those 2 weeks of that break. And we'll have about 100 teens at that. And because of all that's involved in preparing for it, there's a lot to do. We'll have to get over jet lag pretty quickly and get busy preparing for camp. Garth Piper is the camp director, and so there's a lot on our plate to help with that. And our kids want to go. They're excited to go to camp. It's Calista's first year as a camper. She's been to all the other camps, but not as a camper. And so she's excited to finally be a teen and be able to be there as a camper this year. So we're excited about that. So pray for us as we transition back with all of our travel as well. This week we travel to Wisconsin to be with my family for Thanksgiving. And so Monday we'll drive to Indiana, and then the rest of the way on Tuesday morning. And so do be praying for those travels. As far as New Zealand, besides camp, be praying for our various other ministries. Just to sort of summarize a few of the things mentioned in there. Like I said, pray for Caitlin. How many, besides you folks, how many remember Caitlin? Does anyone else remember Caitlin when she was here? Some other people do. And she was able to share a testimony. The Lord's done so much. When she was here on furlough, we stayed for about a month of the 2 months just east of here. It's a missionary lodging. And so we spent a lot of time in this area visiting our supporting churches in this area with Caitlin. And I think we even visited here like on a Wednesday. We had free one time. It's sort of popping into my head as a memory. But the Lord really used that time because she was sort of unsure what the Lord wanted for her, unsure what to do with her life. And she was considering the Bible Institute, but I'm not really sure. And it was while she was on furlough, after meeting a lot of young people that were excited about serving the Lord, wanting to serve the Lord here in supporting churches during her travels over those 2 months, that really helped encourage her to realize that's what she wanted to do. And so she actually signed up for the Bible Institute while here in Pennsylvania. And then she went and completed that. And she's continuing to allow the Lord to use her. That church plant is several hours from us, about 4 hours away. But what's really neat about that, besides being another church plant where there's church planters, our desire is to see people saved and churches started, is that that church plant is actually from two churches that were planted by missionaries. And so what you have is two churches planted by missionaries with New Zealand pastors, Kiwi pastors. And now those churches have working together to help start another church. And that's exciting because we as missionaries can only do so much. So when we start to see the other churches there in the country starting churches, that's an exciting thing. So we're really excited about what the Lord's doing there. There's an American couple, the Swargas, that are helping to start that church. They're coming from the church in Tauranga. And Caitlin and Lim are going to be coming alongside to help. And Lim will be the assistant pastor. And long term, maybe the Lord will make him the pastor of that church. We'll see. As far as our church, our desire is to see that church established with a New Zealand pastor. So pray for that process. Could be Anthony, might not. He's got some growing to do. He's got family at the church. I don't know if that fit would work or not for him. And so we'll see what the Lord does long term. Pray for Anthony as he continues to grow. He's doing some preaching and helping with the ministry even more while we're gone. And so do continue to pray for him. Pray for the Bible Institute. I mentioned that as well. Our Bible Institute is a little bit different than the norm. Instead of having a location where students are and maybe teachers either travel to or are and teach classes at that location, our students are mobile. And so usually we have anywhere from about 6 to 8 or 9 students. They use a 12-passenger van and they drive to churches where the pastor is going to be teaching a class. And so we have a whole list of classes. They're all assigned. And if I'm teaching a class, it might be 1, 2, or 3 weeks, depending on what the class is. And they'll come, and the guys will stay at the Pipers, the girls at our house, or vice versa. And they'll come over during the day for 4 or 5 hours. I'll teach. They'll have assignments, quizzes, tests, maybe some ministry things they could be doing as well, helping on the weekends at church services. And when they're done with that class, they'll travel on to the next one. And that format is different. It's not really like anything I've ever seen in the U.S., and it works really well. It's worked so well in New Zealand now, and the program is, it was there before we got there 10 and a half years ago, and so it's probably 11 or 12 years old now and going strong. So do pray for that. Our children plan to do at least a year of that. Rebecca is just finishing up her school year. Our kids are, again, the New Zealand school year ends in December, and so they're finishing up their school year. Jared finished this week. Becca's getting close. Cliss is getting close. So pray for them as they finish. So Becca will be finishing her senior year. But because we're going back in March, she'd be starting at a weird time with the program. So she's going to save up some money. She is certifying to become a piano teacher as well. And then her plan is in 2026 to join the Bible Institute and do 1 or 2 years of that. And then Jared after that, Clissa down the road. And so pray for the kids as well. That's a good summary of everything we've been doing. And what the Lord has been doing in us. Thank you for praying for us for safety. We hit a small deer this morning. I braked, and so only banged off the side a little bit. Truck's fine. And if you've seen our truck, that's significant because it's very rusty. He's laughing because he's seen it. And anyway, we call it Rob, rusty old bucket. But anyway, any questions? I want to do some Q&A here for a bit. I have no idea what time it is. But I am happy to do some Q&A for a few minutes. Yes, ma'am? Yeah. Both good questions. So the primary religion, there's really two answers for that. If you were to look up statistics, they would say Christianity, and in particular the Anglican Church. And what you're reading in those statistics is you're reading census information. And so people are going to tick a box. But what they take, you know, whatever they mark on a census doesn't necessarily reflect what they are. Same thing here in the U.S. You meet people, they say they're a Christian. What is that? What does that actually mean? In New Zealand, most people haven't been to church in many years, if ever. And so if they're older, they may still go to church. That's unlikely. They probably went to church when they were younger and haven't been in 20 or 30 years. Maybe Christmas or Easter. If they're younger than me, I'm about 42. So if they're my age or younger, they probably have never been to church before. They may market that they're a Christian. They may not market at all. New Zealand is very post-Christian, very non-Christian. And the average individual, if you try to witness them, they will quickly push you away. They want nothing to do with it. You go back in their history, early 1800s, mid-1800s, very Christian nation. The Lord did some amazing things through people that were willing to be used by him. And the gospel was spread. The Maori came to Christ. Great preachers of the past preached in New Zealand. Spurgeon's son pastored in Auckland. Others as well went over there to preach and teach, but that's in the past. That's all past history. And now New Zealand's very post-Christian, and the average individual wants absolutely nothing to do with it, which is challenging. The good thing is I don't have to guess whether or not someone's actually a Christian. It doesn't take me long to find out. They're very blunt, and they're very happy to tell you they don't want to talk about it. But it does take time and effort for you to get to know them over a period of time, for them to realize you're not just there to push something on them. And you're not just there as an American trying to, you know, take advantage of them, basically. And so that takes time. Of course, now we're New Zealand citizens. That helps a little bit. So that's their religious background. And it does pose some challenges. What I've told people is that really where New Zealand is where the U.S. is heading. New Zealand's probably 20, 30 years ahead of the U.S., I would guess. If you want to know where the U.S. is heading, you could look at Canada, Australia, Britain, New Zealand. These countries are post-Christian countries where you don't have to look that far back to see great things happening. And yet, sadly, that's not the case anymore. And I'm concerned about America, obviously, so do pray for our nation. As far as laws go, and that's a good question as well, over the last 20 years or so, there's been certain laws passed that have caused a lot of problems. Anti-smacking law was one, corporal punishment, and then that was followed by the legalization of prostitution. That was a big problem. And then on top of that, then gay marriage was legalized. Since then, we've run into even more issues. One is a number of hate speech laws that have been passed that could pose problems in the future. Now, thankfully, none of those have been acted upon, really. They're just sort of lingering in the background, and if someone wants to run down that road, yeah, that could cause a lot of problems for churches, for myself, for other pastors there in the country. I was very concerned, especially during COVID, especially with so much being online. Doesn't take much for someone to watch some sermons online and all of a sudden you've got a mess because you said something and there's video proof of it. But thankfully, none of that's happened yet, at least the churches I know of and ourselves. So that's a blessing. There is a pastor up in Auckland he's not Baptist at all, and he is a loudmouth, and he's been arrested and had all kinds of problems. But he is he's unique. But anyway, other than him, there's not been too many issues. The biggest issue right now is the legalization of assisted suicide or euthanasia. And that took place about 3 years ago or so. And when it was pushed through Parliament, it was pushed through as a couple things. One, we want to give people options. And two, you know, these people suffering, blah, blah, blah. And two, we're going to put all these, quote, safeguards around it, so that it's not easy to access. And I hate to use the word safeguard because it's not safe, obviously. But that was their wording, their thought process. And so to make it difficult to access, so the average individual, they're having a bad day, they're depressed, etc., they're not going to run down that road. But very recently, in the last few months, politicians have been pushing, especially liberal politicians in New Zealand, been pushing to remove those, quote, safeguards because it's too difficult. It's too cumbersome to access the system that's there. And so my concern is, and what we're watching, is that eventually those quote safeguards that were put in place to help put the law into place are going to be stripped away, making it much more acceptable. Is that surprising? Not really, actually. But sadly, that's the trend we're seeing. And so in New Zealand, we've had a lot of people with mental health issues. They're depressed, and so they're slapped on medication, and then they become dependent on the medication, or they partook in marijuana and various drugs like that when they were younger, and now they've got issues. And we've run into a lot of people in our ministry that have struggled with those things and become very dependent on antidepressants and things like that in our ministry. Not necessarily people that we see all the time in our church, but some people. One lady in our church that comes fairly regularly is one of those people that has had some struggles, and we've had other people we've ministered to as well. And those people, man, they have a really bad day, and it wouldn't take much to make a phone call and be done with life, which is really sad. So we haven't run into that yet, but that's my concern in the future. So pray for New Zealand. It's generally very liberal. Our conservative government is very, really moderate. It's not conservative. And our liberal government, our liberal party, is very liberal. So thankfully right now we have the more conservative government or party in office. So hopefully things won't be as bad for the next few years. But we'll find out. We'll see. That was a lot of talking for one question. Anyway, and that was me, not you. Anyway, other questions. We're under the crown, so we're part of the Commonwealth. So New Zealand, but New Zealand is still independently run. Yes, we honor the king. Yes, the royalty sometimes comes and visits. But we elect our own prime minister as a country. We have our own government that makes laws and things like that. The majority of New Zealanders, many of them anyway, are very independent. And there's always that debate of, should we just become an independent country, or do we stay loyal to the crown? And I don't know. Up till now, I was a New Zealand citizen, so it didn't really involve me. Now I am, and I don't care. Whatever. Whatever. I'll let the people that were born there decide. I'll let my kids decide that. They can figure that one out. Anyway, yeah. Yes, sir. Crime rate, good question. Violent crime's not maybe as bad as some areas of the U.S., but the New Zealand government tends to be very tolerant towards crime and not punish it. So a lot of petty crimes, a lot of break-ins and that kind of stuff tends to be very much on the rise. Gun control is more involved in here, so that you have a little bit less violence on that end, but still some. We don't have the right to own firearms, so you can, but you have to have a firearms license, and that's a bit of an involved thing. There's plenty of it. There's bad areas of town. New Plymouth, we have bad areas of town. We live outside of town now, so we're quite a long ways from that. But there are areas that are worse than others. We have some people in our church that would live in better areas and some that would live in worse areas. So it just depends. New Plymouth is about 65,000 people. Good sized city. It's not massive, but it's not a tiny little country town either. So where we live. Obviously some of the bigger cities, Auckland, Wellington, Auckland's over 1 million people, so you definitely have bad areas and areas you don't want to be at night. So, definitely. Yes, sir, Pastor.
How does God show you that he wanted you in New Zealand?
That's a great question. I was born. No. When I was very little, before I was born, my parents were attending a really good independent Baptist church in Saginaw, Michigan, which is our sending church. And there was a couple that was attending that church when I was very young. They had been missionaries to Singapore, and the Lord had brought them back to the States, named the McLean family, Bob and Polly McLean and their children. At that time, they were on staff at our church, and Polly was teaching our Christian school. Bob was involved in deaf ministry in our church. Eventually, the Lord called them to be missionaries to New Zealand, and they went over to New Zealand. They're there. They're retired there now. They served there a long time with our mission board, with Baptist World Mission. That was their time. So I knew this family quite well. Our church then took on three or four other missionaries that we supported in New Zealand during that period of time. And so I was, as a teen, influenced greatly by missionaries. I knew personally missionaries that had gone to New Zealand. Our church ended up taking on a lot of missionaries through Faith Promise in the sort of 90s. During that period of time, we ended up supporting a lot of different missionaries. Because of that, they came through frequently, and the Lord was using that in my heart and in my mind in the area of missions. As a teen, I yielded my life to do whatever the Lord wanted. And when I was about 15, 16 years old, through the preaching of God's word, preaching on Matthew 28, some sermons at Camp Kobiak in Michigan, where I was going to teen camp, as well as in our school chapel. We had a Christian school. At that time, we still have a Christian school there. The Lord was working in my heart, showed me he wanted me in missions, but I had no idea where. And I assumed the Lord would probably have me Africa, somewhere like that. And I was okay with that. That's just was my assumption. But when Bob McLean and his family were back on furlough, and when I was about 17, I talked to him, and he said, hey, when it comes time to do your missions internship, while you're in Bible college, contact me, and you could come do your missions internship with us in New Zealand. I thought, great. And so I went to Northland Baptist Bible College, great mission school at the time. Doesn't exist now. It was a great mission school at that time. And met my wife there. But between my junior and senior year, I contacted the McLeans about working with them in New Zealand. And he emailed back and said that was not going to work because he had health issues and he was going to have to come back to the States. And he ended. He came back for about 2 years. And I was, honestly, I was devastated. I really wondered why the Lord was allowing that. That was my plan. I needed to do a trip for credit, actually, as a missions major. And so it's about January. Summer was coming in a few months, and I really wasn't sure what to do. And I remember reading that email that morning, wondering what to do, praying about it a bit, heading to class. Lunchtime, dropped by the mailroom, grabbed mail from home. There was a letter from home. I opened it up, and as I'm keeping in mind, this is snail mail. I just read an email in the morning. And in the letter from home was a small prayer card from the Pipers, who were the co-workers of the McLeans. And on the back was a written note from my mom, and it said, willing to work with you this summer in New Zealand. And the Pipers had been at our home church on furlough or deputation, I'm not sure which it was, just a few weeks before that, realized the situation. My mom sent me that note. And the Lord allowed me to get it that day. Now, I didn't know at the time that the Pipers would eventually be our co-workers for 10 plus years. But the Lord knew that. And so the Lord was shutting the door for me to work with the McLeans and instead opening it to work with our future co-workers in New Zealand. And as much as I love and respect the McLeans, I think personality-wise, we've worked better with the Pipers anyway. So anyway, all that to say, I went to New Zealand the summer of 04 and worked with the Pipers for 10 weeks. And the Lord used that time to show me the needs there and to show me that he wanted me there as a missionary. My wife and I had just started courting, and we married in 05. I went to Maranatha, got my master's, and we raised support. We met you all, and then we went to New Zealand in 2014. And that's the story of my life. Briefly. Good question. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a good question. We're not far from town. I could be in town in 5 minutes in Bell Block. I could be at church in 15. So we're right on the edge of town. I could see the airport lights at night across the way. So we're not far from town at all. I could be at major shopping areas in about 5-6 minutes. It isn't tribal at all. New Zealand is very modern country. We have a car. We have a van and a car that we use for driving around. And so, yeah. We have neighbors quite close to us, right next door, actually. Most three of the sides of our property are very long rural views, but we have two, three neighbors to the front, and that we can talk to and have talked to about the Lord and are trying to witness to. The Maori live in and amongst the people. There are areas with more Maori than others, but most Maori people, they don't have a vehicle, live in a house. They live like you and I. Our neighbors, sort of two down from us, are Maori, and we've been able to talk to them. The one gentleman who lives in sort of a little house right there on the property, named Michael, he sort of followed a religion that sort of combines the Maori traditional beliefs, spiritistic beliefs, with Christianity, and sort of blended. Yes, they have public libraries. We have quite a large library in town. Parking's a bit tricky, but they have branches sort of our way in Bell Block, which is where the Pipers live, and then Inglewood, which is about a 15-minute drive. And they're smaller, but we can get books. It's all part of the same system. And so it's quite a big library. We've only been to the library some more recently because the kids are writing more extensive papers and things like that as they get into high school. And so at the library a little bit more, getting books for that. As far as quality comparison, I'd say it's about the same. I'm not. Anyway. Okay, if you have any other questions, please ask. And pick up a prayer card, sign up for a prayer letter if you don't receive it. Thank you. Good to see you.